This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
That you didn't just make up right now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. This is Greg Miller.
Scoop!
This is Anthony Gallegos.
Hello.
That's Mitch Dyer.
Video games.
Mitchie D to you. Welcome to Game Scoop. If you're just joining us, Game Scoop is IGN's video game talk show where we talk about the most pressing matters in the video game world, the matters of today, the stuff that matters to you. It airs Monday, Wednesday, Friday. This Friday, we happen to be giving away a $250 Best Buy gift card.
Ooh la la.
Stay tuned to figure out how you can win that. You know, Rockstar makes those Grand Theft Auto games.
They I'm sure sorry, do. What are those?
They all know all about Hoffcock.
It worked even though you didn't quite get it out.
We knew where he was going.
Rockstar has not officially announced the release date for Grand Theft Auto 5. But we hear it's coming in spring of 2013.
Yeah, I mean, a poster and a board that is like the announcement for it, I think.
A board?
Is
really, a
like,
board.
Like I'm saying, like a standee for like a store.
Yeah, it's like, which, you know, GameStop.
That might as well be the official like word,
sure.
Right? Like, they don't have to say it anymore.
So are you guys ready to play Grand Theft Auto 5 in about 6 months from now? Does that sound like a good time to play?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I won't be playing anything else because everything else will have to scatter, right?
Like, I'm sure I'll play it, and then like every Rockstar game, 6 hours in, I'll be like, I'll peter out, and then.
I always have to.
I love the world, and I'm like, I want to run over people and just go nuts. But then when I try and play through the campaign, like I always end up just like, and then like every other month, I'll jump back into it and be like, oh yeah, this is what it was about. And multiplayer though, that's actually where I'm interested in.
Multiplayer
was awesome.
Very underrated multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, and now Rockstar's kind of figured out how to bolster their multiplayer stuff with like the crews that they introduced in Max Payne. And like the Max Payne multiplayer was surprisingly awesome. So I'm sure they've learned a lot. They've figured out some things since GTA 4. Also, Red Dead's multiplayer, did you guys play that?
Nope.
It was incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved it. I spent like 100 hours with Red Dead, and I think half of that was multiplayer.
I'm hoping that they, with the PC version at least, they keep it as open and moddable as the GTA 4 was.
Only
because GTA 4 is like still pretty big on PC because of the modding scene.
The giraffe mod.
Like, people put in all kinds of things. Back to the Future card. It's like all that stuff. Like if they can do that with 5 again, like I think they can really. There's a certain expectation now that PC gamers have when it comes to GTA 5. And GTA games have not traditionally been thought of as PC games for a long time.
I remember people playing GTA 3 and modding it also.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying that I feel like the trend has definitely been for them to be very console focused now. And I just feel like there's an opportunity here for them to do something really great.
You guys think they'll release it on PC day and date?
That's the question, right? Like, who
they've
knows?
Never done that.
They've never done that, but if they did, that'd
how
be
big
really
was
awesome.
The gap for 4?
It was like 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I think the poster said PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. No mention of Wii U either.
Oh. Mm. Well.
So there's your answer.
Well, oh, it's never coming to PC.
Because it wasn't on the initial poster right, war.
You mentioned games are going to have to scatter.
Yeah, well, do we expect delays? Because, I mean...
Why is that?
So GTA 4 came out in April of 2008.
Yes.
2008.
Yes. Yes.
Let's say 2008.
It was 2008.
That's right. That's
2008.
Right.
2008. Good job, everybody. Teamwork. Let's assume it's April of 2013 for GTA 5. That's still spring. What else is coming out in that time frame? Like, is stuff going to have to delay just to get out of the way of it? Because GTA is such a monumental thing that you almost got to wonder if people are going to care about other releases.
Here are a few games coming out in spring 2013.
Break it down, Damon. Hit me with it.
Gears of War Judgment, God of War Ascension, Injustice, Gods Among Us, Tomb Raider, SimCity. And that's not including games that are coming out in February.
Right.
Because okay. I don't really think of that as spring.
Sure,
but
sure.
February has Bioshock Infinite, Dead Space 3.
See, the thing for me is that Dead Space, Bioshock, they cannot have any more delays. Like,
yeah.
They have to come out ahead
yeah.
of it.
Especially
those games,
Bioshock.
I feel like, have to worry about having sales siphoned away by GTA. Gears of War, it's going to be fine no
yeah,
matter when
fine.
It comes out. SimCity, also fine whenever it comes out.
Totally
not,
audience.
Not, yeah, exactly, not completely.
Yeah, Tomb Raider 2. I mean, those are all frame. Well, there was one on there, I thought.
Injustice.
Injustice is the one I think that you'd be worried about. Not because they're similar games, but because...
I feel like Tomb Raider might have a hard time, too, though, because there would be people that are going to be like, I only have $60 this month, which way am I going to go? Or $60
sure.
in this period, I'm going to get GTA because I know
and
I'm
sure,
going to get
hundreds of
hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And spring is already like super dense because, like you said, February is crazy. And then getting into March, we have all of this. And going into April, like spring 2013 is bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many releases. And GTA is going to really make a mess of that.
Well, I was wondering, I wonder if it just makes sense for the first half of 2013 to be that packed because the back half of 2013, we're expecting a new generation
Next-gen
of consoles
yeah.
to start.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
they don't want to like compete with the Xbox 720 launch, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's true. So I mean, it's gonna be a crazy year.
I'm excited for 2013.
Yeah, 2013.
Out of the gate, there's a ton of games, and then like who knows what's gonna be at E3.
When we look back at like the years, like do we think 2012 is a great year for gaming?
I'd say it's the best year of this generation.
2012 is?
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Nah, totally boring. It was a boring year for Greg Miller. Boring year. There weren't games I cared about.
No Uncharted.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to another, like last year, you know, I had just reviewed Batman Arkham City, mm-hmm. I had just reviewed Uncharted, like those games were huge, and they like those were like the cornerstones of my year, and this year, like tomorrow I'm reviewing Assassin's Creed Liberation, it's kind of like, that's like my big review of the year,
sure,
or like this part of it.
But we have like, I mean, Assassin's Creed 3 is out Tuesday, Most Wanted's out Tuesday, earlier in the year we had like Mass Effect 3, Amalur.
Okay, I loved Amalur. Loved Amalur and put 100, seriously. Amalur was really, we're going to put it on that much of a pedestal to say
that
like,
game
it was
awesome.
One of the highlights. You're right, it was an awesome,
it was a great game.
It was
early
so
in the
much
year,
fun
too.
To play
sure.
that I played it nonstop while listening to podcast after podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Last year might have been a better year because we had Skyrim as well.
Yeah.
So. But this year is still pretty exceptional.
Black Ops, Halo, come on.
Nope.
PlayStation.
The games you're talking about are not moving my
Swan, penis. Journey, Walking Dead. What more do you want?
There you go. Actually, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Okay. Walking Dead, Journey, Unfinished One. Right there. You redeemed yourself in the end with some good stuff.
Fez, Mark of
but
the Ninja.
I'm still saying there were more.
Or Tunicula, which
Xbox
nobody played
games,
but you and I.
Greg doesn't know.
Yeah.
I played the zombie one. Deadlight. That's the one.
Deadlight. Whoops.
Not even the good one.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is a good year for it. I don't know if it's one of the best years.
Oh, it's definitely one of the best years of the generation. Not the best, maybe. Yeah. Maybe last year was better.
Maybe.
But then this year's like second best, probably.
Rank the years.
I would rank the
we
years.
We should do
it's top 25
the top
years.
10 years of gaming.
Best years of the generation.
Yeah. Actually, that's pretty good.
There's seven of them.
Yeah.
We all like that XCOM.
I've heard of that game.
You played that one, Anthony?
Yeah. I've played quite a few hours of XCOM.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It is. It's a great game. It is a... I think it's... It is everything that the fans of the original could have hoped for, basically. Like
everything?
As far as like people that have been wanting a new XCOM for years and years and years, like 20 years, and have never gotten one, like a modern adaptation that was still as faithful as this is to the original, like that should make people pretty pleased. Like that they even got that. Like, you need to buy it or else you will never get something like that again. So that was a huge risk for any publisher to make. Like, a turn-based game on consoles, mm-hmm. like, as one of the primary platforms in this day and age.
Especially for a publisher that says, strategy games are dead. Who cares about them?
Yeah. It's
Did the publisher say that? Did
2K is like head honcho, like their CEO or something. It was like, ah, nobody cares about strategy games. Who cares?
When did he say this?
And it's like, you're working on Civ, you're working on XCOM. What do you, shut up.
Anyway, so. I like the game a lot. What struck me though is that the whole production feels kind of low budget to me. And like you were just saying, it was kind of a risk. I mean, it probably did have a pretty limited budget in terms of what they were able to spend on in like art design.
I don't know how big of a studio Firaxis is, but while they were working on this, they were also still making Civilization V, Gods and Kings. And so I don't know, you know, how many people were actually on the project.
I just think the character models don't have a lot of detail. CGI scenes aren't impressive. I don't feel like the game has a lot of personality or humor.
I agree with everything you're saying, but I think that it's that way so that you bring your own connotation to battle, your own lens when you come to actually do it. It's kind of letting the gameplay speak, and that's why it's such a big deal. People tweet photos at me that they put me in their group or this hat, and then they'll tell us stories about Clements did this, and then Colin did this, and then you died, and blah blah. I think it's kind of a vanilla thing, so that you come in, and you put your own sprinkles in.
Yeah, I don't know how much. The visual fidelity stuff is on them as much as it might be on the fact that they used UE3 in a not shooter sense. Like, I don't know how well UE3 handles a pullback thing of showing like a big chunk of world like that, you know? And like, so I'm not sure what sort of engine limitations there are when it comes to that. I don't know.
The focus was probably less on the art and less on the presentation and more on getting those systems right.
Sure.
Because, I mean, that is a masterful
But I agree that for, like, what comes off is, like, you know, a triple, like, they want this to be establishing a franchise.
Yeah. You know, people will say sometimes, oh, this looks like a downloadable game. And we don't like that here because we think downloadable games are often, like, the best, you know, offerings on a system. They can stand up next to retail games.
Also, most games are downloadable now.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of a slanted term.
I'm just saying, like, the graphic fidelity or in the art style of XCOM, sort of reminds me of stuff that I've seen on Xbox Live Arcade. It's like, I'm playing Halo 4 right now, as you are too, and like the CGI in that is mind-blowing.
It's incredible.
Maybe the best CGI in a game I've ever seen. Sure. So it's like, well, if you're not, why are you even trying if you're not even coming close to this?
To be fair, the Halo ones, though, they farmed them out.
Yeah, so. they farmed them out.
They had an awesome contract studio that was like, that's all they do
in life.
And
they threw like a just unlimited supply of cash at them, so they got it right. Whereas 2K was probably just like, eh. Yeah. We got
I bet you the CGI, the CGI budget of Halo was more than two times the entire budget of XCOM.
That's probably true. Anyway, I do like XCOM.
Regardless of all the cutscenes, presentation, anything, like just the sheer strategy, like the elements of what the turn-basedness of it is awesome.
Yeah, if that's your biggest complaint, like that game's doing pretty okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as like the gameplay isn't like why you're like, oh, this crap sucks.
Mitch, you saw a cool game recently called Brothers?
I've heard of that, yeah.
What a surprising game.
Tell us about this game.
So, Brothers, it looks like this game that you would expect from some, like, almost pompous, pretentious indie studio who's like, we're gonna do this thing where you play a game and you play as two characters, and it's like Peter Molyneux pipe dream stuff. You control two characters with two sticks, and the whole thing is about story and interaction and nothing to do with, like, failure and objective and stuff like that. So you start out and you need to go find some magic water to heal your sick father. And you go out as these two kids, and there's no threats in the world. All you have to do is just proceed, interact with people along the way, and see how they react to what you do. And it's a Starbreeze game. Like, this is coming from the guys who did Syndicate and the Chronicles of Riddick.
Super violent games.
Right. All they've done is shooters that are, like, really mature. And now they're doing this top-down, charming, bright, colorful, happy, story-based game about these two kids. And it's awesome. It's weird.
For Xbox Live Arcade?
Yeah, Xbox Live Arcade, it's coming to PC, I believe PSN, and it's being, the creative director of this game is a film director, like a Swedish film director, who's coming in to be like, I have a vision, and Starbreeze loved it. So they took him on board, and he's got, like, it's like Peter Molyneux, but you can see it in action. You can see all of his crazy ideas working.
My guess is that this is like another example of a studio like Starbreeze who, the day and age where Starbreeze was making things like Syndicate and Chronicles of Riddick is probably largely gone.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And so, like, Starbreeze is going to be another one of those companies that, like...
Scaling down.
What was that company that we just heard
Lightbox.
About?
Lightbox.
Lightbox or...
And Nihilistic.
And Nihilistic. Like, this is another one that's going to be, like, they're realizing that just like Double Fine did, like, we need to do downloadable games.
They just can't compete with...
Exactly.
The Assassin's Creed 3s and the Borderlands
2s. The need to make that sort of profit margin, whereas they could make something... like this for maybe $100,000 and then make that back and maybe have a wild success where they make like 10 times profit, which keeps them alive. Like, I imagine studios like that increasing, especially because it's not like Syndicate set the world on fire.
No. So it's it was like, good, but it
critically
blow
it did fine. But yeah. I'm saying sales wise,
yeah,
like
it tanked.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I just imagine that now they have to be thinking like, how can we keep the studio alive and make games that we want to make? Mm-hmm. And it probably isn't going to be on multi-million-dollar budgets anymore.
Well, yeah, we've talked about it for a while, right? That spectrum of either there's the downloadable game and then the huge AAA game, and how there is no, the middles are just falling away. THQ is just falling away. You can't come out and have a game that does mediocre or less than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brothers is cool because it exists in that school of really artsy, interesting games that aren't really the kind of games you'd expect.
Like boutique titles for interesting people? Is it one of those?
That's perfect.
I would guess that the best games that are going to be on the next console, there's going to be the standouts, Uncharted 4s, you know, Star Wars 13, that are going to be like these things where we're like, wow, that's really pushing the tech. But then we're going to get hundreds more than we did this generation of the Starbreezes and companies like that are putting out these downloads. Yeah. Like, that's going to be where the market really gets huge. Like, it's so.
I'm down with that.
Me too. Like, if that, but I think that that's like, that is the future at this point. Because if they can make a downloadable game that they can push to Steam, PSN, and XBLA, like, for nothing, like, and not have to worry about distribution costs and all the marketing costs and everything that kind of gives a, sets these, like, potentially okay games out with, like, a lead weights on their feet, you know, that they just can't keep up with. Like, I think that that's the future and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'm into that. I would happily spend $10 on anything than $60 on something. I'm like, well, that might be okay.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of games that I, you know, they have a lot of potential. You spend $60 and it's like, well, that was fine, but, you know, Mark of the Ninja was way better.
Yeah.
Fez was way better. Journey was way better. The Walking Dead is way better.
Yeah.
You'll all remember where you were when you heard the news that Disney bought Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
It's true. I was talking to somebody about it last night. It was one of the few moments, I think, where everything went bonkers for a second, where one person said it and then it spread like wildfire, and then Twitter exploded.
I know.
It reminded me a lot, and this is a dark thing to say, but it reminded me a lot of when Heath Ledger passed. That was a moment in the IGN office where everybody was like, somebody was like, "Whoa!" and we're like, "Ah!"
Yeah, Steve Jobs.
No, nobody cared about that.
I'm
kidding.
No, it was a
happy Halloween. Happy Halloween.
It was Nerd Christmas here yesterday.
Like, it was.
It was like, holy crap, what does this mean for us?
Yeah. Well, it's just crazy that they announced the buyout and then they said there's also the Star Wars movies coming.
If they had just said we bought Lucasfilm and we had no idea what their plans were, that would have been a different story.
Yeah, it shut down my brain for like an hour because I was like, oh my god, I can't believe this. Like, you know, Disney is Marvel and it's Star Wars, and then I kept having these like more. I'm like, oh my god, new movies means the extended universe is all screwed up now. Yeah. Oh my god, this. Oh my god, that.
Well, I thought they were, I mean, when we first heard that, I was like, okay, that's one thing. New Star Wars movies, that's fine. But then they're like, Star Wars 7. It's like, so that's actually continuing from 6. Yeah. So this actually means this is not just like, hey, it's Jabba's daughter's adventure. It's like, no, this is gonna pick up where 6 left off. Like, holy shit!
And it's like, are they gonna get the original actors? Like, throw Mark Hamill.
Have they confirmed that yet? That it's gonna pick up?
No, they haven't said. It was like episode seven.
They've said so. It takes place sometime after 6.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. Just like, guys, episode 7, drop the mic and walked out. And
I mean, like, there's all the books. I mean, we get Gaius up here to talk about, you know, Luke's kids and whatnot. I mean, that's what I imagine it's going to be. I don't.
Here's the thing.
There'll be stupid like cameos from like Han Solo fucking driving the beat up Millennium Falcon around.
Yeah, I think I disagree because you know the Star Wars books and games where you know LucasArts, or, you know Lucasfilm, you know definitely like babysat people and said you know you can do this with this character, you can't do that with that character. But that's not Lucasfilm's story. It's like it's these authors. Like they basically got to do whatever they wanted. Han and Chewie are going off on all these adventures, and they don't want to be tied down to all that when they're making new movies. They want to make the movies they want to make. So. All kinds of things. I am positive that these movies, if they're set in the future, absolutely going to contradict anything that came in these books or games. You know, they don't want to be tied down to something that was in, you know, The Force Unleashed.
Yeah. I'm actually really excited for this.
I guess that's a good point.
What?
It's a good point that I guess the movies contradict the movies, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. And they also, there's a lot of worry about, you know, and I'm not a huge Star Wars guy. I don't read the extended universe books besides the, you know, really good ones. But,
you know, besides the really good ones.
No, the Thrawn
ones. If it doesn't get a 9.0, I don't read it.
The Thrawn trilogy is great, and it's a great sci-fi book, and it doesn't matter that it's set in the Star Wars universe. But anyway, they're talking about that they might just cancel the extended universe. All that stuff happened.
Can you cancel it? It still exists.
It's already out there.
But like it's
like
gonna
Clone Wars and all that shit?
Like three new, well though, because that's canonical. Like okay. All the novels and things that sort of orbit around where it's like, sure, you can have these characters, and like every Star Wars fan knows that like this isn't real Star Wars. Like this isn't things that really happened in the Star Wars universe. It's just for fun. Like
you'd have a hard time telling some Star Wars fans that though. I've heard from people before that it's like, oh, everything in Tales from Jabba's Palace is real. Yeah. I'm like, well it's not. It's a book some guy wrote. And even the movies aren't real because they're fantasy.
But we all know that like
Boba Fett
the movies
landed
are just
in the Sarlacc
some guy made.
Like the story about Boba Fett survived in the Sarlacc pit for like 15 years and they took him out and then he lived and he was covered in acid. He's like, ugh. Wow. And he was okay. Like that's they say that's part of the real story, but I'm like, oh,
the
that's
point
not
is
possible.
In Star Wars, there's levels of canonical. Like anything that happened in the movies is real. Like that's it. That's a real thing that happened in the Star Wars universe. And then there's certain things that are less canonical and certain things that are less canonical than that.
Okay.
And the extended universe might just be going away or be completely reset as a result of these
Do
films.
You think Star Wars fans are just going to be sitting in theaters like, no, no, that's not true. Just screaming the whole time?
Maybe.
It is. I mean, obviously it's going to make Disney, you know, $1 billion and people are going to be so excited and line
Probably
up a month early again.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a thorny situation to get like those hardcore fans on board for sure.
Yeah.
I think you say you're excited.
Yeah, because I've always been more interested in what could happen to these characters after or what like it's totally blank canvas and having the prequels was just like I don't need to know like why this stuff happened. Like I don't need to see C-3PO when he was just like less parts, you know, or like Anakin when he was a kid. I never cared about any of that stuff, but seeing what could happen after is just like it's totally open and they could do anything there. And I mean, we've already had a bunch of terrible Star Wars movies, so you can only go up from there.
See, that's the thing is like people don't seem to have learned their lesson. Like, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
If you're gonna go back, you're all gonna be bitching about how bad the sequels are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, they're all gonna be CG, sure, and they're all gonna be this.
There's some very important piece of the puzzle we don't have yet. Who's gonna write these movies? Who's gonna direct these movies? Who's gonna star in these movies?
Kevin Smith.
So until we know those, like I'll be a little, I'll be cautiously optimistic until we get that information.
Yeah, and you know everyone talks about Disney as oh it's Disney, and they think about the cartoons and how, but Disney has also done all the Marvel films. They have done a great job with all of those.
Not all of them.
All the new Marvel Cinematic Universe, all the movies starting from Iron Man on.
He's saying not all of them were good.
Oh, but I mean, generally speaking, I think people are happy with the way that that's been handled, right? Like, you know, people like the Avengers.
Okay,
and
sure.
Okay.
I didn't know. You
I'm just saying they're not all good movies. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. But I'm just saying Disney's a gigantic company. They own ESPN. They own all this other stuff. They did the Pirates of the Caribbean movies,
Pixar.
Which went downhill. But yeah, they do Pixar. So everyone's like, oh, Princess Leia is going to be a Disney princess now. And I'm like, well,
probably. That probably will happen.
There's going to be a lot of old Jedi ghosts. That's
There's princesses in the Marvel universe that aren't Disney princesses now. Like,
name me some princesses in the Marvel universe.
I don't know. You tell me. You're the comic
Thank
book
you.
Guy.
Thank you. Exactly. Thank you.
Princess Fantastic. Remember her?
That could be a
nope,
thing.
Nope, not a thing.
If you were, there's
No, but I'm wondering if they're going to bring back like the Alec Guinness ghost, the Yoda ghost, the Anakin ghost that's played by Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Like he ended Jedi. They have the whole scene, and they show all the planets all over the place. Yeah. Maybe he'll start haunting these sequels now.
With his terrible acting.
I have high hopes for these movies. Disney makes pretty good movies overall. You know, they're the ones that greenlit and funded Tarantino's movies.
Yeah.
You know, they're a big media company that knows how to put out good, high-quality films.
I'm interested in them. I have no, you know, I'm not on either side of the fence, really. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, so I'm just interested to see what happens. Go ahead.
You know, they could be bad, but I think if 7, 8, and 9 were announced being done at Lucasfilm without this, I'd be way more worried than I am now. Like, I trust Disney to make sure that they get some quality.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, actually. I actually think that having a little, like, oversight here now from a company like that is better off than just, like, George Lucas was like, oh, yeah, we're going to make those movies now, and I'm just going to fuck them into the ground.
No, no. That was
pretty good, George Lucas. You kind of have to do, like, a little
do-lap. He's got that crazy chin, man.
Yeah, it's a do-lap.
Maybe the Star Wars franchise has been rescued from the clutches of George Lucas.
From the people who made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talked a little bit about video game stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about how Star Wars 13's development is unaffected thanks to sort of business as usual in the short term. So that's good news.
Right, and see, like, that's a Star Wars property that looks awesome.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's taking place, does it take place, like, during any of the movies or after?
I don't know.
I'm actually not sure of this.
I believe it takes place in the year 1313.
Okay. That's how far after a long time ago does that take place?
Well, it's happening in our world. It's like alternate history.
Anyway.
Where the Death right. Star
Star Wars 1313 is still...
I, that, none of that's true. I don't know anything about Star Wars 1313. I know that it's
putting
like...
Putting lies out there.
That's what everybody told me at E3.
Yeah. That's the level that you're descending down to level 1313. So it should be like B1313 probably.
Episode
don't trust the B in 1313.
I like how you got the sass.
That well, that's how you gotta say that title.
Is that show still on? I haven't watched that show. Is it good?
I don't know. I didn't watch it. I've just seen commercials for it. When I'm watching Nashville, they run commercials for Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 1313.
Has the girl from Breaking Bad, Jesse's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yep. Episode 7 is supposed to be released in 2015.
Yep.
It's basically 2013 now, so this movie's going to come out in 2 years.
Yep.
Yeah. They've got to get this ball rolling.
Maybe they have more done than we know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's hard to separate, you know, truth from speculation and fiction, but, you know, I was hearing somewhere that they do have outlines. Like, they have actual fairly fleshed out outlines for, like, what 7, 8, and 9 are going to be, and all they really need to do is, like, take that outline and flesh it out into a script and cast, and then, you know.
There was that talk for a while that they were going to do that, like, HBO Sopranos style.
They've been talking about that for years, the television
about bounty hunters,
but that was supposed to be 1313.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they probably have a bunch of scripts lying around for that kind of stuff.
I'm sure cobble it together.
Yeah, just piece it all together. We're not going to notice.
We're the Disney stock went down today, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us, we know business, but we don't know business. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is it, maybe it's that they spent so much and they're not getting an immediate return. And,
but $4 billion, to me, I thought that seemed low.
All I know is it probably means I have to Photoshop another downward-facing arrow on an article in IGN, which is what I've been doing like crazy this generation. Every other day, it's like layoffs or stocks down or studio closing or bad news, bad news, bad news. I was telling Andrew Goldfarb, our news guy, like, man, if you were on here during like the GameCube era where people could just put out any game and didn't matter how well it sold, they're just like, oh, cause we'll stick around. We'll make another Beautiful Joe 2
or making art.
Yeah, we're just making art. It's fine. 600 people worked on Cubivore and it sold 4 copies, but don't worry about it. Guys, come on in. Free cookies.
That's actually a great point. There was a Beautiful Joe 2.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That would never happen in a million years
now. No way.
It wouldn't even be well, there'd be a Beautiful Joe. It'd be an XBLA game.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or like an iPhone app.
That's actually Beautiful Joe and XBLA would be pretty hot.
Yeah, they could do that.
Yeah,
Beautiful Joe. That was the business.
I gave Beautiful Joe a 10 out of 10. What site?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I remember it was the first perfect score I ever gave.
Was it for overratedgames.com?
I think it was for gamerfeed.com.
Gamerfeed.com.
Yeah.
We should start overratedgames.com.
We did. It's called IGN.
One of our very observant viewers, Cameron Frazier, writes in talking about GTA 5's release window.
Remember the show Frazier?
Yeah.
It
took you a full
adventures.
45 seconds to charge that one out.
Well, no, I was trying to stay away. I could feel me going. I was trying to get away from the gravitational pull of Niles and Roz and all of them, but I couldn't.
He was such a jerk when he was in the Cheers bar.
Turns
out he's an okay guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He just had a bad dad. He didn't take care of his dad and his dog. And Daphne in Seattle.
Still going.
Still going.
I think Greg's having a stroke.
I know.
All right, please continue.
Anyway, when Rockstar officially confirmed Grand Theft Auto 5 coming spring 2013, released this art.
Yeah.
This sexy lovely lady. Young lady on it. Great. Cameron Frazier writes in, he says, I feel like the image they provided gives us some insight on the release date, a specific date. Let's follow along
with Cameron
here. The girl taking the selfie, first of all, is that a thing?
I thought that was a skateboard move. A selfie?
I thought it was a Pokemon.
Okay.
The girl.
We're all old.
The girl taking the selfie has two visible hands. On her right hand, we see two fingers and four bracelets. Perhaps this could be April the 4th month, April the 2nd.
Well, why wouldn't it be February the 4th?
Yeah, February the 2nd.
Well, because that's not spring.
What about if you count her boobies?
Her other hand shows three fingers, which could mean 2013. April 2nd, 2013 is a Tuesday when games are released. How do you guys feel about this release date?
So Cameron, if I can address you seriously for a second, I would be with you, except the two fingers up is also a peace sign. And people do that in photographs.
Yeah, that's a lot of selfies have that. And also, it's one of those things, like, I think as video games have evolved and cheat codes have been lost, I think so much of the, let's hide something really cool for fans has been lost by big companies.
Yeah.
I really doubt Rockstar's vetoed art and sent it back to their person. Like, that's, we need fucking hide the date in here.
That's true. Do you remember there were, I think it was the original Twisted Metal had like cheat codes hidden in the game's advertisements in magazines.
Yeah,
there were all sorts there of crazy button crap codes like hidden in like a character's boot or something like that.
And now and I think you that's all gone. And not yeah. for and I shouldn't say all gone. Like I can see like people like Team Meat or somebody like that doing crazy crap like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure, sure.
But like when you're talking about like Rockstar and this huge company, this AAA yeah. game, there are so many people working on that game right now that I really this when the trailer one came out and we were doing Rewind Theater, people were tweeting us live going, look at the license plate. These numbers do this, that,
oh,
and the other.
Yeah.
It's like, man,
and then
no.
they went back and they said, oh, these numbers are all these other GTA games, and like they weren't.
Yeah.
And it meant nothing.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting theory, though.
Yeah,
for
totally,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's sort of, you know, guerrilla marketing, or you want to hide things or, like, get people to sort of solve a puzzle. That's been replaced kind of by alternate reality games now, where there's, like, you know, message boxes you can call and get codes, and then you're decoding messages, and, yeah.
It's one of those things, when people hide something cool about this, it's usually developers. Great example being Arkham Asylum. Mm-hmm. Let's hide a room that totally gives away the next game. Like, totally,
yeah.
and not tell anybody about it. Yeah. And then they didn't tell anybody about it. If this really was the date or something, there'd be some cryptic GTA message out there of like, enjoy the art and figuring out the rules. Like, they're not gonna sit on this like, ooh, two and
that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a good theory, though.
It is good.
And that sounds like a good day for that game.
Sure.
It's very plausible. It's a little bit after all the other craziness that's coming in February and March, so.
Yeah.
And they always don't Rockstar almost always release a game in April?
The dog. The dog was so cute on Frasier. Eddie. His name was Eddie.
He's dead now.
You should now.
Oh, totally dead.
Now forget it. I was gonna say something, but I realized it's off the record.
Okay.
About what we know about.
Oh, I thought about Frasier.
No. It was that story.
Lame.
That you told me.
Well, on that note.
Well, yeah. It's a secret. Find out more soon.
It's a secret to everybody.
Secret. Got a secret.
Don't forget, we still have a $250 Best Buy gift card to give away. Stay tuned to find out how you can win this. But first, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, hi, listeners.
Listeners.
Oh, I hate you.
Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like
Alireza Ateli.
Do you give him all the bad names to read?
They're not bad names.
No, I mean, hold on, let me say, sorry, that came out really bad. Do you give him all the ones that you know he'll pronounce really badly?
I give him the ones that I cannot mispronounce, so rather than making me look like the...
Okay.
The dumb white American. It's the role I was born to play. Who wants a cheeseburger?
You do.
Our friend Ollie.
Ollie!
Says, hi guys. I was wondering, what are some of your favorite, more obscure games from previous generations that you would love to see a sequel to or perhaps remade? Mine would have to be the Legacy of Kain series, Fear Effect, Legend of Dragoon, and
Effect.
Advent Rising.
Advent Rising, what was that?
Who the hell knows? There's a million.
Sorry, everybody, it was the chair game, the first game that chair made.
The voice of God.
Thanks, God.
We're hearing reports.
Check that shit out.
We're hearing reports. Advent Rising was the first game chair made.
Okay.
I thought that was like
at this point, though, let's just hope that chair will make a sequel to...
That's probably, why do you keep asking for this? Shadow Complex 2 is not, that's not combat happening.
You don't think it'll happen?
They make so much money off Infinity Blade.
Yeah, well, at some point, you're right, all right.
Anyway.
We'll buy the rights and we'll make it.
More obscure games from previous generations.
Ghost House.
That we.
What?
No. Yes! What do you mean, no? It's got Dracula, it's got Mick, it's what you want!
Dracula and who?
Ghost
Mick.
House?
Who is he, the guy?
He's the kid you play as, you're walking through.
What the hell system was that?
That was Sega Master System.
Ghost House.
Yeah. Greg being one of four people that owned this dumb
Levi
system.
Buchanan, call in right now.
They will never remake Ghost House.
If Sega wanted to make some money, they would.
No, they would. If they wanted to lose some money, they would.
You can reimagine it and be cool. And people would think it's a new
I don't even know
what
that
first... a serious suggestion?
People who like the Master System like Ghost House.
So what is the Twitter premise of Ghost House?
140 characters? Let me write it. You talk to him and I'll write 140 characters about it.
My pick would be Killer7. I don't have anybody want
that,
play that game.
You want a sequel to that, or you want that remade?
An HD remake would be awesome. Maybe something on 3DS or Wii U, something with a touchscreen, would work really well.
So you just want the same game?
Yeah, I would play it all over again in HD. But a sequel would be great.
Play that game for like 20 minutes and hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed it.
I bought it on Matt Casamassina's recommendation.
It was hardcore back in the day.
Yeah, it's an 8. You know, it's nothing better, nothing worse, but
yeah,
got the job done.
For me, it's two games. One is my favorite game of all time, which is called Outcast. Which
you've mentioned this one before. This PC game
came out at just the wrong time. It came out when 3D cards were coming out, and this game didn't use 3D cards. So everyone was all hot on like getting like a Voodoo card back then, and so this game didn't use it, and you were just like, "This is dumb." But the other one is Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like, I want that sequel, and I still don't know that that's going to happen. Like, they've released teaser videos.
We saw that, yeah.
And they're like, it might happen, but I think part of that was just to appease Marcel. Like, what's his name? What's his first name? I always forget. The guy that
Michel
made
Ansel.
Yeah, Michel Ansel, sorry. Yeah. Michel Ansel, I combined the two.
Marcel Wallace.
They put out Beyond Good and Evil, the HD edition, last year. Probably as, like, to test the waters.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is that it is, you may hear about that, like, if you listen to GameScoop and you follow, like, gaming websites, you hear about Beyond Good and Evil all the time. But that game sold terribly. Like, it really was, like, a totally under-the-radar thing. Like,
I remember, but a great game.
It was. I used to go to my local game store, though, towards the end of the PS2 days, or not even the end, I guess, like, 2 years before the end, and I would just see copies of it for $2 just on the counter. They just had stacks of them, and they're just like, here you go, if you want it. Just need to get rid of it.
I've never played all the way through it. I started it on PS2.
I never finished it either.
It was one of those things that for some reason didn't click for me. And I always, it was like HD came out, I was like, oh, totally, I'll play that. You know, I'll finally see what the colors are.
The pacing's really weird. Like, it kind of jumps into these stealth levels completely out of nowhere. Some of the boss fights are a little
The payoff throughout the story is just in the world, I think, is still just worth it. But I will admit there are parts
a lot
that
of
are
really racist characters
hard to get
too.
Through. Yeah, like the rhinos are all just like stereotypically Jamaican.
They're these pot smoking Jamaican guys that work at the auto mechanic shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they fix your hovercraft or whatever. Yeah. There's this really Italian guy.
And you're like
you?
Oh,
it's you.
He's like, Mamma Mia, Jade, taking a picture.
Your AI guy. No, it's your AI guy that helps you out. He's like stereotypically like gay Mexican dude.
Really?
Yeah.
So whenever I played this game, that was not going through my head.
So. Sounds like just like that gay Mexican.
Do you have our?
Yeah, you ready for?
This is
do you want me
premise
to read it?
Of Ghost House
in 140 characters. Yeah. The premise it would be more fleshed out, obviously, if I had more time. Ghost House stars Mick, the bad guy from Teen Wolf, as he basketballs his way through Dracula's crib, beating baddies and boning broads. And then I use 6 exclamation points to get it to 140.
I don't feel like that can really be that very accurate.
Wait, so to clarify
for the remake.
Okay, that's
the remake. Isn't that the original?
But originally you're some kid named Mick.
I was trying to get you to set up the original.
Because
no one has ever played this game except for
I thought it was a pitch for the new one.
Thank you.
You fight ghosts and vampires with a basketball in this game?
No. That was me getting it ready for this generation of consoles.
So you're making it even more unsellable.
Yeah. Okay. In the original game, you were Mick, and you were locked in Ghost House. Dracula was there. I think there was some mummies.
To me, this sounds like the next game from the Lollipop Chainsaw team. It does.
Yeah, could be.
Levi Buchanan knows. It came on the little card. Remember how there was a cartridge you put on, and then there was a little card slot.
No one knows
slot.
This because no one had those.
Sega Master System was the bomb.
Ghost House.
There was like one kid at school who had a Sega Master System.
He was the coolest one, right?
Everyone made fun of him.
Yeah, he wished he had an NES, like everybody else, like all the normal kids.
Yeah.
Those were the days when that was the best of the now we always read the comments, and we're like, why can't people just be like, oh, great, PS3's got a great game, 360 got a great game, awesome. But those were the days, man. There was like, it was a gang war.
So those were the days when it was like Genesis versus Super Nintendo. Then you had valid arguments on both sides, because both systems had exclusives.
Yeah,
they had their good things, their bad things. There's blast processing.
Master System and NES.
Man, Ghost House, there you go, there's my exclusive.
Master System versus NES was not an argument. Nobody was like, yo, man, I was playing Mario 3 last night, what were you playing? Ghost House.
Honestly, as
get out of here.
Honestly,
get
as a child when the NES was out, I had no idea there was another gaming system.
That's how most conversations went. I really like Nintendo. Oh, cool! I have a Sega Master System. What's that?
So the obscure game from a previous gen that I would like to have a sequel to or remade is Einhander.
What the hell's that?
It was a 2D side-scrolling shooter made by Square back when they were Squaresoft.
Wow!
For the PS1. And it was amazing. One of the best shooters ever made. Really great bosses, great animations.
Was it like a shmup?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Never
like
heard
a,
of it.
Like a Gradius.
Was it ever? Has it ever been re-released?
Mm-mm. Give it to the
really?
Cinemark.
It's something Square. It's a game Square made that they never re-released.
Yes.
Exactly. Coming to iOS this fall.
During a time when Square was experimenting with trying different genres other than RPGs.
Yeah.
And that was one of them, and it's fantastic. It was amazing.
It's fascinating to me that there's anything in their vaults that they haven't been like, well, we can milk a couple of more dollars out of this one. Just let it sit there.
I know. This is Scott Baker, or Super Bash Bro.
Nope. He's the baker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He says, I find myself buying brand new games less often each year. Not because I don't think every game I want is worth $60, but because I can't afford to splurge $60 each month, $180 in the holiday months. Do you think there is an oversaturation of big games? Are there too many big games?
Over what, last year, the year before?
I think if you look at the trend for game releases, I think there are less and less games being released.
Yeah, and I think it's not like you can't play a couple months down the road anyways, yeah. Right? I don't know.
I
don't think there's too many games. Yeah. This all goes back to when we start getting into people who are pirating games because they feel like they're entitled to, oh, well, there's all these games out. I have to play them. Well, you don't have to play them right there. You know what I mean? Like, you're voting with your dollars. It should be what premise is the most interesting. What game
I mean,
do
could
I
you imagine if
right
only 12
now?
Games came out a year? That'd be that dumb. Sucks,
I mean, we're in that time of year right now when all the big games do come out. I think it's always been like this.
Yeah.
But I think there are more and more, or there are less and less games overall being released, at least in retail. I think there's more and more digital games.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some advice that our friends at Sony at one point put out. Get a second job.
That worked out well
for
them.
You will work harder.
That worked out well for them on that front.
Some context. That was when they announced the price of the PlayStation 3.
Uh-huh. $599 US.
Giant enemy crab.
That was a good day.
Oh my god. Never forget.
I will never forget. This is Ben Blythe. I liked your conversation about telling a story in games versus having a story told to you. We're talking about Walking Dead and Mass Effect, games like that, rather following a linear story where you just absorb the story. I love collaborative storytelling, which is why games like Dungeons & Dragons, Vampire the Masquerade, and Warhammer have always been so cool. Tabletop games allow you to make as many choices as you can imagine. Ever think about taking the plunge into D&D?
Get out of here, nerd!
Nope.
not D&D, but I do have, like, in my house, probably right now. I'm gonna guess, if at retail, it was like, I have like $3,000 or more of Warhammer stuff, so. Most of it largely.
So if you're casing the place.
Yeah, good luck ever reselling them, though. That's the thing is, you buy them for like a ton of money, and unless you're an amazing painter, you'll never sell them for that equal price.
We have some people at IGN that are into that stuff. Like Mike Drucker loves Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, but I was going to say, when was the last time Mike Drucker was like with his friends, and he ordered like 14 pizzas, and he's like, all right, the next 14 hours, we're going to sit here, and we're going to work this battle out.
Oh.
I like Dungeons & Dragons.
For the next 14 hours, we're going to eat a pizza an hour.
I like Dungeons & Dragons. It's probably been over 10 years since I've played, though.
Really?
So, yeah.
There's still, I mean, here in San Francisco in the Bay Area, there's plenty of board game shops and stuff like that where you'll walk by at 8 o'clock at night and there's just like 40 nerds in the back.
I was going to say, well,
they're
all nerds.
A good tabletop shop will have a section, either a basement and upstairs or a back room that is all just dedicated to staying open after shop hours.
Yeah.
Because that's how they keep it, because then those kids are there playing, like, I need this, and then they just walk over and they buy it right there.
Yeah.
So.
How often do you play Warhammer?
Sadly, only a few times a year now, but we're trying to start a tradition of me and all the friends I lived with in college where we have a Warhammer weekend where they all fly up to the Bay and we all dedicate a whole weekend to a tournament.
That'd be cool.
So that's what we that's what we do currently. So
you ever played Vampire?
No.
I haven't played Vampire. What's going on with Warhammer video games?
That's a good question. There it's always been weird because
what was the last one that came out?
Space Marine.
Space Marine, yeah.
And so I mean, no doubt about it, there's going to be more RTS games set in the future version of Warhammer. Yeah, that's Relic's done so well with those and made money on them that I can't imagine THQ's gonna let that license go. The MMO they were supposedly making that was being made by Vigil, the guys who make Darksiders, that's been turned, they said that's no longer an MMO. But with like the recent departure of like Joe Madero from that studio and stuff, I can't imagine. Like, I'm curious if that game's just going to be out and out canceled. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a really like the final death nail, I feel like, for THQ if they lost that license, because that's like one of their biggest money makers. Not as much here in the States, but abroad in like the European Union, it's massive.
This is Big Tony Style.
Big Tony Style.
Great name.
He asks, if a game is leaked early or reviews get posted before embargo dates, Does this impact any embargoes IGN is under?
Case by case.
Yeah.
Sometimes a review will go up early because someone will break embargo, and we'll email the publisher and be like, hey, this went up. Can we post? And they'll be like, yeah, screw it. Or other times they'll be like, no, please don't. We're working everything we can to get that taken
down. Yeah, we would always check with the publisher. We wouldn't just say, well, they posted their review, so we'll post ours.
Yeah. I know there's been times where like whole sections of games have been leaked to YouTube, and we're just like, well, our embargo is still the 15th.
Yeah.
We respect that.
This
we're
just
not
happened with Halo 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if anything, exactly. I'll say that street dates are people breaking street dates are what can change embargoes the most.
Yeah,
if people already have the game like illegally, but they bought it legitimately at a game store, all of a sudden they might be like, well, we're just going to push it up.
Yeah. I will say from like the content publishing perspective on our side, it's actually almost kind of disappointing every time we see one of our fellow outlets leak something early because we're like, come on. You know, we're all going to do this at 9 o'clock on the same day and you guys had to pop the cherry a day early. Don't do it. But, I mean, yeah, we respect it.
Always.
Yeah. Or try to.
Yeah.
Greg doesn't.
No, I don't care. I'm a wild card. I'm posting my Uncharted 4 review tomorrow.
Greg, how do you think we pronounce this gentleman's name?
That's Sue Keokaham.
He says, I have a question for Damon. I know nothing about music. I've always wondered how the unique sound in dubstep songs is made. For lack of a better term, the wubs, what creates this noise? Is it done by a synthesizer or electronically? Yes.
Yes, both.
No, it's a guy sitting there playing an instrument.
It's a guy in a bathtub just blowing bubbles.
Yeah, it's all you know, created with synthesizers. The bass sound, you know, dubstep is characterized by having very like moving bass sound. So it's not just a straight tone. It's not just
like boom.
There's like you know the. It'll wub, it'll wobble, it'll like, so you're like, you're modulating various different parameters of the sound, usually in time with the music, so you get like a
yeah, because if that goes differently with the drums, then it's a disaster.
Yeah,
it's like jazz.
So, and you usually have that bass sound that you hear actually isn't the sub bass, the weight of the track, the oomph that you really hear. There's also like a sub bass that follows, that mirrors that like very mid-range bass sound that you hear that you don't really pay attention to, but that's what gives the song its like its power and its like
weight,
yeah, to it. So there's usually those two. The dubstep is those sort of two bass lines running together in harmony. That's like a basic.
And that's how the sausage is made. That was good. That was a good breakdown.
Now you make all your music in Beaterator, right, on the PSP?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I loved that game back.
Beaterator. Beaterator.
On a PS2 one, the MTV Music Generator. That's the one I
used. I use Mario Paint.
Well, Beaterator was the Rockstar one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I reviewed that one.
You did, yeah.
I never used that
one. I never even played that game.
Before we go, we're going to hand you over to Naomi. She's going to tell you how you can win a $250 Best Buy gift card. Please, Naomi, be gentle with our dear GameScoop viewers and listeners.
Thanks, Damon. So here's how you can win the $250 gift card to Best Buy. We want to see the very best cat gift that you can find. Send it to us at gamescoop@ign.com. We'll pick one winner and notify them by email and then feature it here on the show. This giveaway is powered by Best Buy, where you can pre-order Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and can play it first at select stores. Good luck, everyone. Now back to you, Damon.
Thank you, Naomi. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great weekend. Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com, and we'll see you next week.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.